message for today, but we'll come next week. Maybe we will. Isaiah chapter 2. This is a portion of prophecy from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 2. And much of this, most of this has not happened yet. This has not taken place yet, this prophecy here. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10. But we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at a couple of other places in the Bible. And we're going to be looking at God speaking to people. God talking to people. When the earth trembles, and God speaking to people. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10. We'll go down through the end of the chapter. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of the hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Verse 13. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan, upon all the hills, the hill mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up. Verse 15. And upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the pleasant pictures, and of the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, for the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. Verse 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, and to the glory of His majesty, when He ariseth to shake terrible the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which he made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask, we open up these scriptures today, that You'll guide and direct our paths, and let us see what You want us to learn here today from Your precious Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our country is coming to a time of loftiness, they think. High mightiness. Many of the big wheels have been brought down recently. From money to courts to governors being blocked up and put in jail and all kinds of things. Things are happening around our country. But there is still a lot of pride in our country. A lot of people that think because we are Americans, because of who we are above reproach. We are above the what's going to happen in the world. That we're all safe here and everything's going to be okay. A lot of that's changing. A lot of that's going to be changing. And a lot of it's going to get worse before it gets any better. I don't see a great awakening in the Bible anywhere. I just see the world just going, getting worse and worse and worse and worse. There are more sales going on today because everybody's trying to get that last penny that you've got. There's more bargains and more things going on. Buy one, get one, all kinds of things around. If they mark something down 50% or 70% and they're still making a profit, But you see, God has a way of dealing with the proud and boastful and the lofty people. I was thinking about this message this morning as I was going over it again, and the weather that we had this morning, all the changes that we had in the weather. And people say that God's not real and He doesn't have power. I remember here, what was it, a few winters ago, He shut down Washington, D.C. and shut down New York City for the weather. And we think about all the things that God can do and all the miracles He's done. We sing in the song about the star that the wise men saw and they followed and how it moved and how it stopped over the manger. Well, in the manger is the house when the wise men got there. And they try and explain it away. Well, that's when all these planets lined up together and that's when there was this bright light and all those things. But how do they explain it moved? How do they explain it was here and how do they explain it was there? How do they explain all those things? Trying to explain away the miracles of God. There's been some people that's written books about the end times of the world and tried to compare God's things to flamethrowers and jet airplanes and nuclear bombs and all of those kind of things. Well, God didn't use any of those things when He wiped out the greatest army of all in Egypt. He didn't use any of those things when Gideon conquered all the armies. He didn't use any of those things when the walls of Jericho came down. He didn't use any of those things any other time. But now that we think He needs our help. But the Lord has shaken this earth many times. Not all earthquakes are God-caused, but many of them are. And there's going to be some times, which hasn't happened yet, but there's going to be two times that I can find in the book of Revelation where God's going to get this whole earth and there is going to be a worldwide earthquake. And I'd forgotten as I studied, and there's two of those. One of them when all the islands and the mountains are moved out of their place. And there's another one that says there's never hasn't been one that great ever. And they're all smoothed out. Well, I got to thinking about these earthquakes and trembles and all those things. And I got to looking in the Bible about these. When God was up on Mount Sinai and He talked to the Hebrew children. He had Moses up there and He was giving them the Ten Commandments. And God spoke to the people. It says the whole mountain quaked. And then over in Hebrews, when Moses is relating, he says, I exceedingly feared and quaked. The mountain that shook when God came down upon it and spoke to the people. It says it was like a furnace, like a billows going up out of this mountain. It was covered in a cloud. They put a border, they put a fence around it. And it says, don't come up to this mountain because this is holy, because God is there. And if anybody comes up, any animal or anything like that, it says, throw them through with a dart, you know, with a spear. This is holy. He called Moses up there. He called and Aaron went up there with him. This is a holy mountain. And this mountain quaked and shook by the presence of God. And the children says, Moses, you go talk to Him. We can't stand His voice. We can't stand to listen to Him. You go talk to Him. We can't handle it. Well, in the account we have in Hebrews of that, that made Moses quake. That made Moses shake. Have you ever been so fearful and seen such a majesty of something that it made you shake and quiver on the inside? Made him shake. That's what Moses said. Many times when they had victories over their enemies, the Israelites, they sang songs and proclaimed how He shook the earth and how He did things. And they gave God great glory. God helped many times in a battle. It helped the enemies win because He shook the ground and made things happen. The foundations in the heavens were shook by His wrath. The Lord's anger has caused many quakes and trembles. Talks about it in Samuel. The earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. In Psalms 18, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations, also the hills, moved and were shaken because he was wroth. But there's another earthquake in 1 Kings chapter 19. I don't know if you want to turn there or not, but I just got a few verses. But in 1 Kings 19, we have a story of one of God's prophets, Elijah. Now, Elijah was one of the great prophets of God. He was there when one of the most wicked kings of ever was around. He is the one that called and spoke to God, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years upon the land. He is the one that had the contest with the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal in chapter 18. And when he says, "Will you call on your gods?" He says, "You're going to make up an altar, but don't put any fire on it." And their gods and their prophets and all that, 450 of them, they worked and played and cut themselves and cried and did all kinds of things nearly half the day. They couldn't do anything. And Elijah made fun of them. "Well, maybe your God's out hunting. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's somewhere else." And then Elijah, he prepared the altar and did all these things. Wonderful story there. And prayed to God. And he poured water upon the altar. This was during the 3.5 years of famine. And he poured the water upon the altar. And he prayed to God. And God came down with fire and consumed the altar. Consumed the sacrifice. Consumed the altar. Consumed the water. And it says the flames licked up the dust around it. 450 prophets of Baal. And then he slew them all with the sword. All those prophets. Well, you know what happens next? Delilah. What? Delilah. Yeah, she, the queen. "So I'm going to kill you. Just like you killed my man, I'm going to kill you." What's he do? He tucks tail and runs. He runs. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. And God sends him, and he feeds him, and he prepares food for him, and he sends him over to a mountain. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" God says, "What are you doing here?" Verse 10, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, even I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain. I mean, this is more than we have here in New Mexico. This wind tore the mountain. God brought that wind. "And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice." And as it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave and beheld there was a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Same question. And Elijah gives him the same answer. And then goes down. And God tells him, "Elisha is going to be your replacement, Elijah. You're going to be replaced." God caused all of these things. God caused the strong wind that tore the mountain and broke the rocks. God caused the earthquake. God caused the fire. But he wasn't in any of those. It was a still small voice. Well then, if God was going to speak to him in a still small voice, then why all this other stuff? Why this ridding of the rocks and the earthquakes and the fire? Why all of these other things if he's just going to talk to him in a small, quiet voice? Why all this other commotion? Why all this other things? Why all this display of power? Elijah is just defeated and stood up and praised his God 450-2. Him and God against 450. What odds is that? And he has won the victory. He has proclaimed God, turned the nation around, and he prayed, and rain came, and he outrun the chariot of the king. And now, the fear of a woman takes him. But why all of this other stuff? Why the earthquake? Why all this fire? Why all the rocks? Why all of that? He says he wasn't in that. He wasn't in that. He wasn't in that. You know what those things were? Those were attention getters. That was to show the power of God. That was an intention getter. That was to say, I got something to say to you. You better listen. I got something to say to you. I bet he was in there inside that cave. It says he come out to the mouth of the cave. He's inside there hiding and trembling. He's afraid. You got a wind come along that's throwing rocks around and breaking them. You got an earthquake and you're inside of a cave. You got fire coming around. He's back in there. He's a little afraid. But after God shown his power, then Elijah was ready to listen. Elijah was ready to listen. Those were attention getters. Those were making Elijah stop. He was showing Elijah how powerful he is. He told him later, I've got all kinds of prophets that haven't bowed down to Baal. You're not the only one. God always has a remnant. But because he got afraid, God says, this is going to be your replacement. Elijah, there's not one of us I know that is as spiritual as Elijah was. I don't know somebody that's got courage to stand up against 450 prophets of Baal. But he did. He's a brave man. He was a spiritual man. He was a prayer warrior. Talks about him praying and stopping the rain and praying. And he was a man of like passions, it says. He was a powerful man. He was a man that was a man's man. He wasn't no wimp or anything like that. But he took his eyes off of God and got to looking at the circumstances. And God came down and basically grabbed him by the shoulders and just shook him up a little bit. I got to talk to you. Now you listen to me, Elijah. When Elijah was ready to listen, still small voice. Talk to Elijah. That's how God talks to us. In a still small voice. Well, he caused all these other things. But he wasn't in them. The portion we read in Isaiah about where the people call for the mountains to fall on them. And that refers us back into Revelation chapter 6 with the sixth seal. Joel says, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. The one in Isaiah, we read, when he arises to shake terrible the earth. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus said, there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. You know what some of these things are? They're attention getters. When the creator of this world died upon the cross, there was a worldwide earthquake. It says the earth did quake and the rocks rent. They saw the earthquake. When he was in the tomb, and Matthew says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, Jesus was already gone. He just rolled the stone away so we could see. When the Holy Spirit came down with the believers on the day of Pentecost, it says the place where they were assembled was shaken. God opened the prison doors for Paul and Silas by an earthquake and shook it. God mightily comes down and shakes things sometimes. But when He shakes, we need to listen. When He knocks upon our heart's door, we need to listen. The God of the universe, the creator of all of this, can grab this whole earth and shake it. But some people's hearts are so hard, He can't even get a quiver out of them. In Revelation chapter 6, we have when the wrath of God starts upon this earth. And the great things happen. And He opens up the sixth seal. And the heavens and were scrolled together. She cast the stars fall as figs, as a mighty wind. The heavens are rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains in Revelation 6:15. And verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? These people know what's happening. They know that it is God that's causing this. They know that God is shaking the earth. They know that God is causing the mountains and the islands to be moved out. And they say, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb of God that sits on the throne. Their heart cannot be shaken anymore. They would rather die than repent. Their heart cannot be shaken. We see that today. We see things happen in people's lives. We see things happen in homes. We see things happen in God. You can see God trying to shake them. You can see God grabbing them by the shoulders. You can see God trying to get their attention. You can see God wanting to talk to them. And they're not moved. They're not moved. It's a scary thing. How many times is God going to shake them? How many times is God going to try and get their attention? How many times? I don't know. In the seventh seal, when it was opened up in Revelation 8, the prayers of the saints are mixed with fire from the incense of the altar and are cast to the earth. And there's an earthquake there again. Their voices with thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, it says. As God speaks to the people. After the second woe, the tenth part of Jerusalem fell by a great earthquake. Jerusalem was shaken. In Revelation 11:19, there was an earthquake when the temple was opened in heaven and the ark was seen. But in Revelation 16 was the worst one of all. When the seventh vial was poured out. This is well after the rapture here. But you see, people still don't want to repent. Verse 17 of Revelation 16, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, "It is done." And there was noises and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city that was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of her of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blaspheming God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Still no repentance. This earthquake is the last one I found in the Bible. The mountains were not found anymore. It's one thing to think about this mountain moving. It's another thing for it to be leveled. We was just up in Illinois for Thanksgiving with my wife's mother and stuff. I didn't realize how much flat country there was. And that's nothing like the panhandle, Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, there were some gullies and some brush. I mean, it's flat. It's flat. And when her sister and brother-in-law came out here, they were amazed at the mountains. You know? I asked them, "What's the altitude here?" And they didn't know. Figured about 200 or 300 feet is probably about the best I could find out there. But think of the whole world being like that. God's going to do that. God's going to do that. All these things that's happening around the world right now are attention getters. 9/11 is a good example. Man, the churches were full. People were praying. Now what happened? Now what happened? What was last Sunday? Pearl Harbor Day, huh? We've forgotten these things, haven't we? There's been attention getters in your life. God has done some things in your life to get your attention. Does your heart tremble when God touches your heart? Job, in chapter 37, "At this also my heart trembled and is moved out of his place." All the things that happened in Job's life as God got his attention and talked to him. Another tremble I run across in the Bible I thought very interesting. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The fallen angels, the demons, the devils, they have enough common sense to tremble at God. They're smarter than some people. It's not a question in their mind if God is real. They've seen Him. They've seen Jesus. They know He's real. You look at all the times they spoke in the New Testament. They recognize exactly who Jesus is. Remember when the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 had died, and the rich man was wanting someone to go raise from the grave and go tell his brothers about this terrible place called hell. And what did he say? Abraham says, no, they have the prophets and the scriptures. If they won't believe those, then they won't believe though someone rose from the grave. If God cannot touch your heart, if God cannot talk to your heart, then He's going to shake you up. He's going to grab you by the shoulders and He's going to shake you up. If God cannot get your attention, He's going to try and He's going to try and He's going to try. And He's going to try. Don't be like the ones that would rather die and have the mountains fall on them than repent. God shakes up Christians just as well as He does the lost. And sometimes a little more. Because He chastises His own children. Because He loves you. Sometimes God takes you out to the woodshed. Applies a little education. But we get stubborn. We won't listen to what God has to say to us. This book right here. What's in it? The words, the thoughts, the heart of God has the most power of anything. And if He can't touch your heart, then it's a sad day. It's a sad day. If God can't touch your heart, if you can't hear that still, small voice, if you haven't heard that voice lately, you need to get on your face before God and ask for forgiveness. Get in communication with Him again through your prayer life, through your Bible study, through your meditation. Get in touch with Him again. Because He's just liable to come along and grab you by the shoulders and shake you up a little bit so that you can hear that still, small voice. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know what God has for you. I don't know what God wants to do. If you never have asked Jesus to be your Savior, and He's been talking to you, then He's looking for an answer. Jesus doesn't talk just to be talking. If He's talking to you today, He's looking for an answer today. If He wants an answer tomorrow, He'll talk to you tomorrow. And Christian, have you lost your fellowship with God? Have you lost your closeness with God? Can you look at your life and see, well, maybe He's been shaking things up a little bit? Maybe you need to start listening. Listening. Well, how do I listen? In your prayers, in the scriptures, in God's house. All kinds of ways to listen. Dear Jesus, we just ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these words, that You'll take what's been presented here. God, apply it to hearts. Let it touch souls. That we might be moved and listen to that still, small voice. We ask for this in the name of Jesus.